The year was 1941. Scientists at Columbia University wanted to answer the question, what's the minimum amount of light needed in order for humans to perceive that they have seen something? So they conducted controlled experiments, and they came up with reliable measurements of the absolute threshold of vision, the minimum number of photons that must strike our retinas in order to elicit an awareness of visual perception. And their answer? Between 5 and 14 photons. So what? Here's what this means. It means that if the Earth's surface were flat instead of curved, on a dark night, the average person would be able to see the flickering flame of a single candle from a distance of about 30 miles. Even the slightest glimmer of light has the power to penetrate vast, deep darkness. Now, during this season of Lent, we've been exploring the possibilities of what it would mean for us if we were to follow Jesus more actively. Our worship theme for Lent this year is Listen Up. I based that on the observation that throughout the Gospels, Jesus is always up to something. He's always doing something. He's walking or resting or preaching or praying or eating or healing or teaching or sailing or welcoming or warning or encouraging. You get the idea. He's always up to something. Now, I'll admit that this week's theme, Light Up, could be misunderstood. Anyone old enough to remember television before 1971 will recall that cigarette commercials used to run on TV, often with an invitation to what? Light up. And then in both the original and the recent remake of the movie Ghostbusters, the team activated their ghost-busting proton packs with the command to what? Light them up. But let's focus on how the Bible makes reference to light. We're familiar with many of those references. One reference I've known since I was a child, but at the time I didn't connect it to the Bible, came from this. In our house on Sunday mornings when I grew up in Chicago, Sunday mornings, either the radio was tuned to a station playing pipe organ music, or the television was tuned to a locally produced religious program called Lamp Unto My Feet. Now, I never actually watched the program because it was pretty boring. But I did like watching the opening of it with this image of a flickering flame coming from the end of one of those old Middle Eastern lamps that's shaped kind of like a gravy boat. You know what I'm talking about? It wasn't until years later that I discovered that the program title, Lamp Unto My Feet, was from Psalm 119, verse 105, which says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Scripture illuminates our walk with God. Scripture lights our way. Another biblical reference to light is found in the opening verse of Psalm 27, where the certainty of God's strength and protection is compared to the comforting assurance provided by light. The psalm declares, The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Yet another reference to light was one we heard this morning from a passage that we're more used to hearing around Christmas time. The prophet Isaiah announces an encouraging assurance to the people who walked in darkness. That is, the people who wondered where God was in their lives and where they were in God's plan. Isaiah foresaw that they will have seen a great light, someone to become a guiding beacon to light their way. Turning to the New Testament, John's Gospel records Jesus as making a bold declaration to the religious traditionalists. He says to them, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness." Jesus is leading the way, lighting up the way, showing us where to go in order to follow in his footsteps. And as long as we follow, we'll never be in darkness. And then this morning's gospel selection was a familiar excerpt from the Sermon on the Mount. It bears a slight similarity to the passage from John's gospel, but the difference is what's key. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus is recorded as saying, "Not I, but you are the light of the world." And then he goes on to explain the significance. "You are like light for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a bowl. Instead, it's put on the lampstand where it gives light for everyone in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before people, so they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven." Now, if the crowd had any trouble grasping what Jesus possibly could have meant in telling them, "You are like light for the whole world," he gave them a forehead-slapping example. Who would light a lamp and put a bucket over it? No. If we were on that hillside listening to Jesus teach, he might have asked us, "If you're looking for something, would you turn on a flashlight and then cover it with your hand? Would you turn on the car's air conditioning and then roll down the windows?" How do you like that? Roll down the window. Who's rolled down a window in the last 10 years? Tells you where I'm from. Jeez. I should practice this more. Or Jesus might say to you, "Would you prepare and cook this delicious, nutritious Daniel plan meal and then throw it out so you don't risk putting on any weight? Or would you go on a sightseeing trip and then spend the entire time with your nose buried in a book?" No, if you are a light, your purpose is to shine. Jesus, the Son of God, came into our lives to light up the way for us to find and follow God's will. What then? Well, picture a Christmas Eve service. Here and at many churches, on Christmas Eve we light a candle, and then we take that flame and we pass it one by one until the whole room is filled with light. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, ignites us. He infuses us with the light of his love and mercy. He urges us to continue carrying that light into the world on his behalf, by what we say to loved ones and to strangers. To carry that light by the respect we show to people of influence and the respect we show to people of humble standing. to carry that light into the world by the content and tone of what we post on social media. We're to light up every place. Why? So that the people of the world will see the good works that we're doing, and then seeing the goodness within us inspired by God, they too will give thanks to the God of heaven and earth. God empowers us to illuminate, to radiate, to glow, to light up the way for others. We're to take the light of compassion that we have from Jesus and light up a way for people who search for someone or something offering strength in their time of weakness. To light the way for people who search for something or someone offering hope in the midst of their despair, offering courage when the pressures of life overwhelm. Offering forgiveness when the weight of one's sin smothers one's sense of self-worth. As believers, we are called to employ our attitudes and our actions and our speech to light up the world so that all will have the chance to see that God is good. Why would we ever hide that light? Why would we ever withhold from our neighbors and family and community the light of love that God has placed in us through Jesus the Son? Would you pray with me? Holy God, in Jesus, you confirm that you are our light and our salvation, the strength of our lives. Help us be more attentive to how we can allow the light of your love to shine through what we do and even what we say. Amen.